الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we spoke about two aspects of leadership. One was the kind of leader, and the best leader is the one who suits the challenge. And the second one was the importance of followership. Today I want to talk about a third aspect of leadership, also relating it to the Quran Sunnah, which is the importance of moving from person-led to being process-driven. Moving from person-led to process-driven. Now, this is absolutely critical, especially if you are talking about leadership to continue after the leader or the initiator has gone. Without that, leadership gets restricted only to one person. As long as that charismatic leader is there, things will move. Once the leader is gone, everything collapses. So to move from being person-led to process-driven, what is it that is required, and what do we have as the dalil from the Kitab al-Sunnah? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, in the famous ayat of Surah Al Imran, I think it is ayat number 144, if I am not mistaken, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this very specifically with respect to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the whole Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always mentioned Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without mentioning his name. In many different ways of honoring him, Ya Ayyuhal Nabi, Ya Ayyuhal Rasul, and so on, Ya Ayyuhal Muzammil, Ya Ayyuhal Mudassir, Yasin, all of these. But two places, if I'm not mistaken, maybe three, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually mentioned the name Muhammad. One of course is Muhammadur Rasulullah walladhina ma'ahum ashiddahu ala kuffari wa rahmahu bainahum, that ayat. The other one, which is the one I was referring to in Surah Al-Imran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, again used the word Muhammad, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a Rasul. And if he is killed or if he dies in battle, then will you turn away from Islam? And the third place in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as with the name Muhammad is in Surah Al-Ahzab, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the father of any of the men among you. Now we come to the ayat of Surah Al-Imran, which I mentioned. Here is an indication where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the transition from being person-led to process-driven. Meaning that the person leads the process, the person initiates the change, and that is what the Nabi Anbiya came to do, that is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to do, was to establish a system. But for the system to continue, the system has to be in focus. And that's why when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, this is the ayat that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu recited before the congregation in the masjid. And Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said that it was as if I had heard this ayat for the first time when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu recited this ayah of Surah Al-Imran. Because that is when it struck the Sahaba that Rasulullah is no more, but Islam remains, and Islam is what we have accepted. So there are many instances of this, but let me establish the principles first, and we will talk about the principles in the next few days also. There are three things that are required to move for global movements to continue and to perpetuate and to move from being person-led to being process-driven. Three critical factors. One is a central ideology, an ideology to which everyone can contribute and to which everyone feels connected. Second one is a central authority, which the people will obey and should obey. And third is a centralized system of funding, because At the end of the day, unless there is money, it won't go around. So, central funding. So, these three processes are the processes that are required, and we'll talk about them, inshallah, in due course. But just to give you some glimpses of how in Islam we saw this process of moving from, how we saw the system of moving from process, from person-led to process-driven. Take Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. When a woman came to him one day and asked a question, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, come tomorrow. She said, if I do not find you, then what should I do? Meaning that either he was not available or he had passed away. He said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, go to Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu. She said, if Abu Bakr is not there, he said, go to Umar ibn al-Khattab radhiyallahu anhu. So he is establishing a process of leadership. It's not restricted to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam alone. It is, the leadership is a process, it is a system that is being created. And this is exactly what happened when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, where the Khilafah was chosen, again on the basis of a process. The final clinching argument was, who led the Salah during the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by his order, by his command? The answer is Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And then of course his personal position also came into consideration, because people asked, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu asked this question, and he said, who among you is willing to accept that he should lead Salah and Abu Bakr should pray behind him radiallahu anhu? And the Sahaba said, Ya Azubillah, that is not possible. He is our leader, he is our Sheikh, he is our Imam. We cannot have him pray behind us. Second glimpse of this, again in the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu as the commander of the army to go out against the Romans. Again, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is pointing to a process. He's saying the commander will be somebody who is appointed by the central authority. The commander is not necessarily somebody who you must always like, or you, who you personally, individually may or may not consider to be capable or worthy of that command. But if the commander has been appointed by the central authority, then you will obey that commander. So that is the process that is being driven, and that's the process that is being emphasized. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after he passed away, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu continued that. He did not remove Osama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, although there were a lot of objections from people. They said he is too young and this and that, and he is the son of an ex-slave. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, I will not change what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has ordered, and the process will continue. This became even more clear and more true in the wars of Ridda after Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu took over as the Khalifa, because what was the point of contention? The point of contention was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is no longer there, therefore we don't have to pay zakat. So they were saying that the zakat, the system, is linked to the individual. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said the system has nothing to do with the individual. The system is a system by itself, and this system has to be followed, and this links, does not link to the individual, but links to the central ideology. It does not even link to the central authority, it links to central ideology. If you do not pay, if you refuse to pay zakat, then you are no longer Muslim, you have become murtad, you have left Islam, just as you would have left Islam if you had refused to pray. So if you say, I will pray but I will not pay zakat, Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu said, the system was established by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the prayer and the zakat are linked, they are one and the same, they cannot be separated. Therefore, if you separate them, then you have left Islam. So once again, the emphasis is towards the process, to say that the process has been established, and therefore the process cannot be violated and changed. And similarly, we have issues and cases like this. In terms of various processes, in the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu himself, when it came to deciding who should be the Khalifa, Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu again used a process. He could have named, simply saying Umar ibn al-Khattab should be. He didn't do that. He took a process, and that is the process of Shura. He consulted with the leaders of the community. He put forward his proposal, but he said, please tell me if you have objections. Please tell me if you agree or you do not agree. Of course, people agreed. If they had disagreed, we do not know him. Maybe he would have changed or whatever the case might be. But the point is that he again used a process to establish that leadership is not something that is going to come by inheritance or because you are somebody's son or daughter. Leadership is not going to come because the current leader likes you or he is your friend. It will come because and only on the basis of competence and ability to lead, and that competence and ability to lead will be decided by a Majlis al-Shura, by a process of consultation. So he again established a process. Now in the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, you have many instances. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu is a person who is responsible for laying the foundations of the Muslim, for want of a better word, the Muslim empire for the next 700 years. The foundations of the empire were laid by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. In the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, there was too much of turmoil, there was too many battles to be fought and so on. So he did not have the time to lay that down. But with Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he laid the foundations down. He established formally established the Baytul Mal. There was some kind of a Baytul Mal. There wasn't a institution itself in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as well as Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. But Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu established a formal Baytul Mal, which is a central treasury for running the affairs of the state. Which includes, and Baytul Mal is not just a charitable organization. Please understand that it's not, it's a central treasury. It's the, like today what you would have as a reserve bank or a central bank. That is what it was. Of course, there was no banking involved and there wasn't any currency and stuff, but that was a central treasury of the state. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu also established the army on the basis of a standing army where the soldiers were paid salaries. Until then, the army was a conscript army. Soldiers fought for their own personal tribal leaders. There was no direct loyalty to the central command. It was all individual leaders. And that is one of the things about the armies of the Arabs. Until then, they did not understand campaigns, they did not understand long wars, they literally skirmishes and battles. You fought, you came back. And what the soldiers got was only ghanima, which was the booty of battle. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu changed all that. He made it into a standing army. He gave them salaries. He appointed commanders. They were not necessarily tribal leaders. And he collected and centrally administered also the ghanima. We'll talk tomorrow a little more detail about that. But it wasn't anymore the right of the soldier to take whatever he wanted to take or whatever came to him. It was centralized and given by the state. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the ayat of Surah Al-Anfal, which specify, how much to whom and so on and so forth. That was there and that was practiced more or less. But Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab made this into a proper system which continued. And that's what underlines the importance of moving from being person-driven, person-led to process-driven. It's a very important part, and this is a very important element of leadership. We will continue, inshallah, with this. We ask Allah for hidayat and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to bring back into our system these wonderful things which were the cause of greatness of this ummah once upon a time. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.